What if I told you that trying to get like a base tan before your tropical vacation is biologically equivalent to relying on a layer of damaged, mutated scar tissue to save your life?
Oh, man.
Right? Or that the super expensive bottle of SPF 100 you just bought is probably only giving you the protection of like an SPF 25.
I mean, it sounds absolutely absurd when you say it out loud, but everything we think we know about the sun is fundamentally
It
backwards.
really is.
The habits we pass down to our kids are actually, putting them right in the crosshairs of cellular damage.
Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. I'm your host, Annabelle Pitcot.
And I am Bill Pitcott. Welcome, everyone, to today's deep dive.
We have some incredibly eye-opening material to unpack with you today, and I want to share right up front that today's information is pulled directly from the best-selling ebooks on our ebook store at Pitcot.
It is packed with revelations.
So make sure to visit www.pitcot.com/shotbooks to download and explore these insights for yourself.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
The entire mission of our deep dive today is focused on shattering sun safety myths. And honestly, reading through the Pitcot sources, I found myself literally laughing out loud at my own desk.
Oh, it is wild.
Most of what you and I have accepted as common knowledge about sun protection isn't just slightly off the mark, it is completely, totally, and dangerously wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, we are walking around operating on these old wives' tales that are putting our skin at severe risk every single day.
Well, the sheer longevity of these myths is the problem, right? You hear them repeated for decades, from parents to children, so they solidify into undisputed facts.
Right, they just become gospel.
Exactly. But today, we are going to break down the actual biology of your skin, the hard physics of ultraviolet radiation, and figure out how to genuinely protect yourself.
Let's start with the most deliberate, concentrated way people actually seek out UV exposure: tanning beds.
Oh boy.
The statistics here are just mind-blowing to me. A single 20-minute session in a tanning bed delivers the exact equivalent UV radiation of spending 4 hours baking under a midday summer sun.
4 hours.
I have to laugh at the insanity of that. 4 hours squeezed into 20 minutes. Can you even imagine laying completely bare on the boiling asphalt at high noon for 4 continuous hours?
I mean, you would never do it. No one would do that.
Hmm?
But that concentrated dose is what makes artificial tanning so incredibly destructive.
Right.
We need to look at the cellular mechanism to understand why. So, tanning beds are specifically engineered to flood your skin with UVA rays.
Okay, the UVA rays.
Right, these are the long-wave radiation rays. Now, UVB rays are the ones that primarily burn the surface layer of your skin, the ones that cause the redness.
Like a traditional sunburn.
Exactly. But UVA rays are insidious. Because of their longer wavelength, they bypass the surface entirely and drill deep into the dermis.
Wait, back up. So they bypass the surface, meaning you don't even feel the burn happening.
You don't feel a thing. You just lie there.
That is terrifying.
It is. Once those UVA rays penetrate the dermis, which is the thickest, most structural layer of your skin, by the way, they act like a microscopic wrecking ball.
Oh, wow.
They physically strike and break apart the base pairs of your DNA strands,
They actually break the DNA.
literally snapping the base pairs. At the same time, they collapse the collagen and elastin fibers, the scaffolding that keeps your skin structured, plump, and elastic.
Which is what causes all the premature aging and the deep wrinkles.
Exactly, the leathery look. But the most terrifying part is the quiet programming.
What do you mean by quiet programming?
Well, the radiation damages the cell's ability to trigger apoptosis, which is natural cell death. So instead of dying off and being cleared away by the body, these damaged cells are programmed to endlessly replicate their mutated DNA.
So you are just lying there, listening to pop music in a glowing blue tube, completely unaware that your cellular scaffolding is collapsing and your DNA is mutating.
Yeah, that silent compounding mutation is why the World Health Organization doesn't mince words here. They officially classify tanning beds as a Group 1 carcinogen.
Group 1, that's the top tier, right?
That is the highest possible risk category in medical science. They put tanning beds on the exact same shelf as cigarettes, plutonium, and asbestos.
Huh. I really need to pause on this logic because it's essentially paying an hourly rate to climb into a UV coffin.
It really is.
Think about it. If you wouldn't willingly smoke a pack of cigarettes just to get a raspy voice or, I don't know, sprinkle asbestos on your cereal, why on earth would you lock yourself in a radiation chamber just for a temporary golden glow?
It's crazy.
It makes absolutely zero sense when you say it out loud.
And, you know, the clinical outcomes make even less sense. The data clearly shows that people who use tanning beds before the age of 35 increase their risk of developing melanoma by a staggering 59%.
59%?
Yes. That is a massive, life-altering statistical jump for a completely elective cosmetic habit.
Just to look a little bronzed for a weekend.
Exactly. And we must be clear about melanoma. It is not... It's not just a surface-level skin tag that a dermatologist simply freezes off in 10 seconds.
Right.
It is a highly aggressive cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It spreads exceptionally fast. It is notoriously difficult to treat once it enters the lymphatic system. And it's responsible for over 57,000 deaths globally every single year.
57,000 people. And the ultimate tragedy is that it's completely avoidable.
100% preventable.
If you really want that warm, sun-kissed aesthetic, I mean, the cosmetic industry has already solved this problem. We have incredible, streak-free self-tanners now that look perfectly realistic.
The technology there is great now.
They hydrate your skin, and crucially, they won't try to kill you. You pair a good self-tanner with a broad-spectrum SPF 50, and you get the exact same visual result, completely risk-free.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, if avoiding artificial radiation seems like an obvious choice, the natural UV exposure we face every day is where things get significantly trickier.
Oh, for sure.
Natural sunlight comes with its own set of deep-seated myths, and the most pervasive one is entirely based on the weather.
Oh, the cloudy day deception. This is the trap almost everyone falls into.
Everyone.
It's an overcast Tuesday, gray skies, there's a cool breeze, maybe even a light drizzle. You look out your window and think, well, the sun is gone. There's zero chance I need sunscreen today.
Right. You think you're totally safe.
I am totally guilty of this. But reading the PicCut sources, that instinct is apparently the single most common sun safety mistake we make.
It really is.
Hmm.
And we make that mistake because we constantly conflate visible light with UV radiation.
Okay, break that down.
So clouds are excellent at blocking visible light. That's why the sky looks dark gray to our eyes. But clouds are terrible at blocking ultraviolet radiation.
Because it's a different wavelength.
Exactly. Depending on the density, up to 80% of UV rays cut straight through that cloud cover, totally invisible to the human eye, and land directly on your skin.
Wow. 80%.
Yeah. So that quote-unquote safe gray day is absolutely still a high UV day. Your brain is just being deceived by the cooler temperature and the dim lighting.
But the research revealed an even crazier plot twist about the clouds.
Oh, the scattering effect.
Yes. Sometimes clouds don't just let the rays through. They actually weaponize them. Certain partly cloudy formations can scatter the radiation.
Yeah, it's fascinating physics.
The water droplets in the clouds act like millions of tiny magnifying glasses, bouncing and concentrating the UV rays right at ground level.
It's a laser focus.
Exactly. So you can literally end up with a worse, more severe sunburn on a partly cloudy afternoon than you would on a perfectly clear, bright blue sky day.
The physics of light scattering are completely counterintuitive. And this brings up a massive issue with how we view sun protection, right? Sunscreen is not a suit of armor.
It's definitely not.
It isn't a coat of paint that you slap on in the morning and just forget about. It is a very delicate chemical or physical barrier that degrades really quickly.
Just from normal daily activities.
Exactly. The simple biological act of sweating starts breaking down the formula. Humidity affects it. Water washes it away.
Right, right.
Even the microscopic mechanical friction of drying your face with a towel, shifting your shirt, or just hugging a friend physically removes the protective layer.
Meaning, application isn't a one-and-done morning chore. The
yeah.
strict dermatological guideline is that you must reapply every 2 hours, baseline.
At a minimum.
Right. And if you are swimming or sweating heavily, that protective window violently shrinks to every 40 to 80 minutes. The bottle of sunscreen in your bag actually has to come out of your bag.
It can't just sit in the tote bag all day because that unseen exposure is accumulating everywhere, constantly.
Oh, it really is.
It's the 5-minute walk across the parking lot. It's eating lunch on a shaded restaurant patio. It's sitting near a large window in your home office.
That's the one that gets me, the home office window.
Oh, yeah. People sit there for 8 hours. UV rays do not punch a clock. They do not care that you're just running a quick errand. They are bombarding your cellular structure, regardless of your schedule.
I hear this complaint all the time, you know, is it really necessary if I'm just running out to grab my mail? And reading the biology, it finally clicked for me.
How so?
Well, thinking that clouds or quick errands protect you from UV rays is like thinking that closing your eyes makes you invisible to everyone else.
That is a great analogy.
Just because you can't see the bright sun doesn't mean the threat isn't standing right there hitting you.
Absolutely. And if unseen incidental exposure is that relentless for adults running errands, consider the demographic that absorbs the highest amount of unprotected incidental exposure.
Children playing outside.
Exactly.
This part of the deep dive genuinely gave me chills. The concept that your skin has a memory. More than 80% of a person's total lifetime UV exposure happens before they even turn 18 years old. 80%.
It is a sobering reality in pediatric dermatology. I mean, children simply exist outside more, right? Recess, organized sports, swimming pools, playing in the neighborhood for hours on end.
And they hate stopping to put sunscreen on.
They despise it. They certainly aren't pausing their games to meticulously reapply sunscreen every 40 minutes, but biologically, childhood is the absolute worst time to accumulate this cellular damage.
Why is it worse for kids specifically?
Well, a child's skin is physically thinner than an adult's. Their stratum corneum, which is the outermost layer, is far more sensitive. And their internal cellular mechanisms are underdeveloped, meaning they're far less equipped to repair the DNA damage caused by that radiation.
Oh, so the damage just sticks around.
Yes. And the consequences of that fragile skin are permanent. A single severe blistering sunburn in childhood, literally just one blistered burn, more than doubles the risk of that child developing melanoma later in life.
Just one burn. And honestly, how many of us had more than one of those peeling, painful, glowing red burns growing up without anyone really panicking about it?
It was almost a rite of passage.
It is wild to think about. It's like racking up a massive high-interest credit card debt in high school, but the bill doesn't arrive in the mail until you're 40 years old.
That is exactly what it is. The body logs every single burn in its cellular ledger. The mutated cells accumulate decade by decade, until one finally misfires and becomes cancerous.
Which is terrifying.
Because of this, the medical guidelines are incredibly strict now. For babies under 6 months old, you actually need to skip sunscreen entirely.
Wait, really? Skip it entirely?
Yes. Their skin barrier is far too immature and absorbs the chemical filters directly into their bloodstream. So for infants that young, you must rely strictly on physical shade and tightly woven clothing, period.
That makes total sense. But once they hit 6 months and older, it's go time.
Oh, absolutely.
You need to apply a broad spectrum SPF 30 to 50 exactly 15 minutes before they even step foot outside. And utilizing wide-brimmed hats and UPF-rated clothing is so smart because you are building the physical habit of protection early before they reach the age where they want to actively resist it.
It becomes second nature.
Before we get into the biggest myth of all, we want to remind you to visit www.pitcot.com. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Connecting the reality of childhood sun exposure to what adults actively choose to do to their own bodies brings us to the most deeply ingrained generational myth we have.
The base tan.
The base tan. The pervasive idea that acquiring a preliminary tan somehow acts as a biological shield against burning.
Oh my goodness, yes, this one needs to be destroyed immediately. We've all heard it right. You know, I'm just gonna hit the tanning bed a few times to get a base tan before my vacation so I don't burn.
People say it all the time.
Listen to the actual science here. A tan is not a shield. Biologically speaking, a tan is literal scar tissue. It is a visible, screaming distress signal from your body.
To understand the fallacy, you really have to look at the cellular panic response. When UV rays penetrate your skin and begin snapping your DNA strands apart, like we talked about earlier, your body goes into a massive state of emergency.
It's panic.
Total panic. In a desperate, last-ditch attempt to absorb and deflect any further incoming radiation, your skin cells rapidly produce melanin, the dark pigment.
So it's trying to build a little umbrella.
Exactly. That beautiful bronze color people chase isn't an indicator of vibrant health. It is the visible aftermath of severe cellular trauma.
And as for the quote-unquote protection this massive trauma response actually provides, a natural dark tan gives you the pathetic SPF equivalent of roughly 2 to 4.
2 to 4?
Think about the math on that. You would never walk into a pharmacy, buy a bottle of sunscreen labeled SPF 3, rub it on, and think you were totally safe for a 10-hour beach day.
You'd burn in 20 minutes.
So why are we relying on the biological version of SPF 3 as our primary defense?
It makes no sense. It offers virtually zero meaningful protection. Yet the act of acquiring that tan dramatically and irreversibly raises your risk for basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, and melanoma.
Because you had to damage the skin to get it.
Right. Every single time, the skin darkens the cellular damage compounds. And this brings up a crucial, deeply misunderstood reality. Dark skin is absolutely still at risk.
This is such an important point. The myth that people with naturally darker complexions don't need sunscreen is everywhere, and it is incredibly dangerous.
It is. While it is true that naturally higher levels of melanin offer a slightly higher natural SPF baseline, it is nowhere near enough to make sunscreen optional.
Right, it's a slight buffer, not an iron shield.
Exactly. Pigmentation is not immunity. Because of this widespread myth, black and brown skin individuals are facing devastatingly higher rates of late-stage skin cancer diagnoses.
Because they aren't looking for the signs.
Exactly. They are falsely told they don't burn, so suspicious lesions go completely ignored until the cancer has progressed into the lymph nodes or beyond. Late diagnosis directly results in significantly worse medical outcomes.
That is awful.
This specific myth is literally costing lives.
It is heartbreaking. I mean, saying a tan protects you from sun damage is like saying a bruised arm is safer from being hit a second time just because it's already bruised.
Right, it's just more trauma.
It's damaged tissue. We absolutely have to rely on SPF. But even when we do make the right choice to use SPF, we get totally manipulated by the numbers on the bottle.
Oh, the numbers game.
Let's talk about the SPF 100 invincibility cloak.
This is where marketing completely distorts the physics of sun protection. You see a bright bottle of SPF 100 on the shelf and think it is an impenetrable suit of body armor.
I mean, 100 sounds perfect. It sounds like 100%.
It does. But let's look at the actual mathematics of sun protection factor. An SPF 30 lotion blocks roughly 97% of UVB rays.
Okay, 97% is pretty good.
If you step up to SPF 50, it blocks about 98%. SPF 100 gets you to around 99%.
Hold on. So the difference between SPF 50 and SPF 100 is literally one single percentage point of blockage.
One single percent.
But psychologically, it does so much damage. Because someone buys SPF 100, puts it on at 9 a.m., and feels totally invincible. They think they are fully covered for an entire weekend at the lake.
And that false sense of security is exactly where the most severe blistering burns happen.
Oh.
Because the number printed on the bottle is calculated based on perfect, thick clinical application in a laboratory.
Not the real world.
No. To get the advertised 99% protection, you need to apply 1 full ounce of sunscreen, which is roughly the size of a standard shot glass, to cover an adult body.
And let's be real. Think about how you actually apply sunscreen. Nobody uses a full shot glass.
It feels like way too much lotion.
You probably squeeze out a tiny little dab, rub a thin, streaky layer on your shoulders and nose, complain about it feeling greasy, and call it good. So that super expensive bottle of SPF 100, because of how lightly you applied it, the math changes. It is actually functioning closer to an SPF 25.
Yep.
Buying SPF 100 but only using a tiny drop is basically like buying a bulletproof vest but only wearing a 2-inch square of it over your collarbone. It's not going to save you.
That is a perfect way to put it. The far better scientifically backed strategy is to buy a standard SPF 30 or 50, apply it very generously until you have an even film all over, and most importantly, reapply it every 2 hours.
Right. Generous and frequent.
And you must ensure the label specifically says broad spectrum. Historically, the SPF rating only measures UVB rays, the short rays that cause the visible surface burn.
The ones that make you turn red.
Right. You need broad spectrum to ensure you are also blocking those UVA rays we discussed earlier, the ones quietly causing deep cellular aging and cancer.
Okay, so if chemical and mineral sunscreens are this difficult to use perfectly, easily washed off, and chronically underapplied, the logical next step is to just stay covered up. You know, sit behind glass, wear long clothes, stay in the shade. Which brings us to the idea that glass, cloth, and shade are perfect physical shields.
It's a highly logical assumption, but the physics of light are incredibly persistent and sneaky. Let's look at your daily commute.
Okay.
You are fully clothed inside your car with the windows rolled up, the AC blasting. You feel completely separated from the sun.
Right. You feel like you're indoors.
Exactly. However, While regular car windshields are chemically treated during the manufacturing process to block UVA rays, the side windows of your car typically are not.
Wait, really? The side windows let the UVA through? That is terrifying for anyone with a long commute.
It is. Extensive dermatological studies have meticulously documented this. In countries where people drive on the right side of the road, the left arm and the left side of the driver's face age significantly faster.
Because it's next to the window.
Yes. When dermatologists examine these patients, the left side shows far more deep wrinkling, sunspots, structural sagging, and skin cancers simply due to that unfiltered UVA exposure streaming through the side glass every single morning and evening.
The commuter's half burned. It is so highly specific, but the visual evidence is undeniable. Okay, what about clothing?
Clothing is another big one.
I have always assumed that throwing on a long-sleeve t-shirt meant I was safe. But the Pitcot sources show that a standard lightweight white cotton t-shirt only has an SPF of about 5.
Just 5.
And if you jump in the pool or sweat heavily and that cotton gets wet, the structural fibers stretch out and the protection drops even lower.
And this specific vulnerability is exactly why the textile industry developed UPF ultraviolet protection factor clothing.
Right, the special fabric.
Yeah, a garment that is specifically woven, dyed, and treated to be UPF 50 will block 98% of UV rays seamlessly.
Okay.
It doesn't wash off in the pool, you never have to remember to reapply it to your shoulders, and it offers highly meaningful zero-effort protection all day long.
That's amazing. But even if you are fully dressed head to toe in UPF clothing, sitting perfectly still under a massive thick canvas beach umbrella, you still aren't completely safe.
Nope.
And this blew my mind, the reflection factor.
Right.
Wait, so even if I'm huddled under a massive umbrella at the beach, the sand is essentially acting like a giant mirror shooting UV rays right back up into my face.
Yes, it is a phenomenon known as the albedo effect.
The albedo effect.
We naturally tend to think of sunlight purely as a directional beam coming straight down from the sky. If we block the sky, we block the sun. But UV radiation bounces.
Oh.
It behaves exactly like a billiard table.
Rah.
Dry sand reflects up to 17% of UV radiation back up. Water reflects about 10% off the surface, while simultaneously allowing rays to penetrate deep below the surface to hit you while you swim.
So even underwater, you aren't safe.
Not at all. And if you are a skier or snowboarder, fresh snow bounces a massive 80% of UV radiation right back up at your chin, your nose, and the underside of your eyes.
80%. No wonder skiers get those awful under-eye burns.
Exactly. Shade is a total illusion if you are surrounded by reflective surfaces. You must apply sunscreen to your face and neck, regardless of where you are sitting.
When you stack all of this up, the side window driving, the cloudy days that magnify rays, the compounding childhood burns, the bouncing rays off the snow, the total failure of base tans, it paints a very serious picture of compounding inescapable damage.
It does. Because as we established at the beginning, UV damage is fundamentally irreversible at the cellular level.
Right.
Yes, your body has incredible mechanisms to repair minor damage, but that cellular repair is inherently imperfect. Each unprotected exposure leaves behind microscopic errors in your DNA sequence.
And they just wait there.
These mutations sit there, silently building up over decades. And this compounding mathematical effect is exactly why skin cancer is the single most common cancer in the entire world.
The sheer scope of it is staggering when you look at the numbers. Huh? Over 5 million cases are diagnosed in the United States alone every single year.
5 million.
And in Australia, 2 out of every 3 people will receive a skin cancer diagnosis by the time they reach age 70. 2 in 3.
They are not rare outcomes. They are the highly predictable mathematical result of generations relying on inadequate protection, poor application habits, and widespread cultural myths.
Yep.
But, and this is the most crucial takeaway from all the data, there is a deeply optimistic bottom line here.
Let's hear the good news.
UV exposure is one of the most highly preventable risk factors in all of oncology.
Yes, that is the beautiful part of all this science. Unlike your genetics or ambient air quality or 100 other health variables that you have absolutely no control over, you are completely in the driver's seat here.
Absolutely.
Your daily choices literally rewrite your biological future.
Exactly. No one is suggesting you need to hide from the sun in a dark, windowless room. The sun is wonderful.
We need it.
It regulates our vital circadian rhythms. It boosts our mood and mental health. It is essential for vitamin D synthesis. The goal of understanding all these mechanisms isn't fear. The goal is respect.
Respecting the radiation.
We just have to meet the sun, honestly. That means making the consistent choice to use broad-spectrum SPF correctly. Utilizing wide-brimmed hats and UPF clothing, understanding how reflection works, and scheduling regular skin checks with a dermatologist to catch any anomalies early.
It is a daily choice. And wrapping this all up leaves me with this final provocative thought to chew on.
What's that?
As science continues to map out exactly how easily and violently our DNA mutates from a simple, casual afternoon of unprotected UV exposure, how is society going to view casual sunbathing 20 years from now?
That is a great question.
Will we eventually look back at laying out on a beach covered in shiny tanning oil the exact same way we now look back at Victorian families who happily decorated their living rooms with highly toxic arsenic wallpaper?
Oh, wow.
Just completely unaware of the poison right in front of them. It is wild to think about. Thank you for listening to the Pit Cop podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.
Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too.
Thank you for being there with us. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.